But wherever we've been over the last several weeks, we see people fearful. We see people worried. They don't have the faith that we've got. So we have to show them why we're not frightened. As believers, we should, during these and any other times of worry and concern, rest assured knowing that God is with us. He's caring for us. Whenever I have worries or concerns, I don't know why, but the words of that beautiful old hymn, Blessed Assurance, just pop into my head. And I sing it, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of rapture divine. It tells me that no matter what I'm going through, what I've got to look forward to is even better. And as that song goes on in my head, I just calm down. Today, I want to share a few thoughts with you from probably the most famous psalm. And Brian said we're going to be talking about the psalms today. I think this is the most famous psalm, and it's Psalm 23. You might think Psalm 23 is associated with the funeral service in giving comfort to family during that time. But for me, Psalm 23 is a happy and a joyous psalm because it gives me confidence and strength knowing that my Saviour knows. He knows me and he provides for my every needs. He protects me and that I will be with him one day. I'm just going to read that psalm to you, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Beautiful, beautiful psalm. Happy psalm. But I just want to share a few of my thoughts on this psalm with you today. The context of this psalm is the ancient kingdom of Israel, where sheep were a major part of the economy of that country. We're not talking about a few sheep. We're talking about huge flocks of sheep all over the land. And David himself was a shepherd before he became king of Israel. Here in this psalm, he compares himself and us with the sheep and God as his shepherd. And we all know that there are many references in the Bible to shepherds and sheep. Not many of us have the opportunity or need to work with sheep. And therefore, you probably don't understand the full meaning of Psalm 23. Sheep are some of the most defenceless animals on the face of the earth. And unfortunately, they tend to be rather willful. Sounds a bit like me at times. These two characteristics create a very dangerous scenario for their safety. But having been a shepherd, David knew what was required of a shepherd and how important a shepherd was to the safety and well-being of his sheep. In the psalm, David makes no apologies for comparing himself and us with those same sheep, those same willful, self-destructive animals. It's a very personal psalm, and it's David's testimony and his personal experience with God. Right at the beginning, the very beginning says, the Lord is my shepherd. Not our shepherd, not your shepherd, not their shepherd. He says, my shepherd. And this confident statement tells us of a close and personal relationship between David, the sheep, and the Lord, his shepherd. In John 10, verse 11, Jesus identified himself as the good shepherd, when he said, "The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Jesus laid down his life for us. If we recognise our sinful condition and we acknowledge that Jesus Christ died for our sins and we accept him as the Son of God and our Saviour, then we are his sheep and we can be confident of his love and his care and his protection, no matter what is going on around us. I'm now just going to go through the verses, just putting my thoughts on a few and hope that they might help you. Verses 1 and 2, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." Sheep cannot say what they want or what they need, yet a good shepherd knows the needs of each and every animal in his flock. In Matthew 6, verses 7 to 8, Jesus tells us that our Father knows exactly what we need even before we ask him. And yet the shepherd knows exactly what his sheep need before they ask him. Our good shepherd knows exactly what you need and what I need because he is all-knowing. Each of us can trust him to supply our needs, whether they're physical, emotional or spiritual. But this doesn't mean that he will provide them exactly when and how we want them. And the reason is because he's higher. His ways are higher than our ways, and he knows better than any of us what we need and when we need it. But we can know that he will provide what is best for us and when it's best for us. The green pastures that this psalm refers to are the rich and lush pastures where sheep can be satisfied. Sheep don't have to move from pasture to pasture looking for feed. In the green pastures, they can feed and then rest and lie down, knowing that their every need has been met by their shepherd. As to the still waters, did you know that sheep are afraid of moving waters? And at the least bit of movement, they will not approach it, even though they need water. I used to think this description of still waters was a bit poetic, but then I found out this about sheep and I thought, that's why it's still waters, because that's what the sheep need. Otherwise, they're frightened. A good shepherd knows that small detail and will sometimes dam up a stream to make a pool of water for his sheep. Just as our good shepherd knows the smallest detail of what each and every one of us need. Verse 3 at the beginning says, "He restores my soul." When something is restored, it's put back to how it should be. When a sheep strays, as they do, a good shepherd goes and finds it and restores it to the flock. When a sheep falls onto its back, which it sometimes does when it's frightened or whether it's dehydrated or whether it's starving, the shepherd finds it and puts it back on its feet. When sheep are weak or sick or injured, a good shepherd strengthens them, looks after them, heals them. In all these instances, the shepherd restores them to full life so that they are once again able to stand and walk and feed, to hold their own as part of the flock. It is our good shepherd who, in restoring our souls, binds up our wounds, heals our sicknesses, and gives us strength in place of weakness. In restoring our souls, he gives us joy in the morning after a night of weeping and turns our mourning into dancing. He restores our thinking and our knowledge of him as our Lord and our Saviour. The last part of verse 3 says, "He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Sheep are creatures of habit and with a tendency to go the same way to the same pastures until the pastures are worn out, leaving nothing to eat. A shepherd knows exactly where the best feeding grounds are and he leads his sheep to those places. We can be like the sheep and take ways and repeat habits that are not good for us. If we find ourselves in dangerous or barren places with our souls exposed to dangers and our spirit languishing, it's usually because we've wandered as erring sheep. The Lord would never lead us into those places. Having restored our souls, he leads us on the paths of righteousness. It's our responsibility to follow him as our good shepherd along those paths of righteousness. In John 10, verse 27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." I read a story once of a person who witnessed two shepherds in Israel in recent years, and their flocks came to the same water hole. And as they moved to the water and drank, the sheep all mingled in together until you couldn't distinguish one flock from the other. But as one of the shepherds started to leave, he called out, and his sheep immediately left and followed him. What a brilliant illustration of Jesus calling to each one of us. And we just leave the flock and follow him because we hear his voice. If we stay close to our shepherd and we listen for his voice, we will hear him calling us and we will follow him on the paths of righteousness. Verse 4 says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Here David speaks of God's nearness and his presence. All the paths that God chooses for our lives are for the purpose of sanctifying us or making us righteous. And sometimes this does mean we have to pass through dark valleys. Sometimes a shepherd must lead his flock to feeding grounds that are across ravines with steep sides. And there is a chance the sheep could slip, and there's also the possibility of predators in those dark valleys. But despite the shadow of death, the sheep follow in the path of the shepherd. They're not worried because they know their shepherd will only lead them to where it is safe, and that they will use his club that he carries with them to fight off predators. When we have valleys and dark places where we have to walk, we need to be like David and speak of God's nearness and his presence. There's no need to fear because our shepherd is always with us. It's often after we walk through those dark valleys and those shadows and get to the higher ground that we realise God was with us the whole time we were there. The shepherd's rod and the staff are symbols of protection and comfort for the sheep. They're not a cause for fear. With his staff, the good shepherd gently guides the straying sheep, gives them a nudge on the side and brings them back to the right path. And his rod is used to protect them from wild animals and predators. Each night as the sheep approach the fold, the shepherd puts his rod across the doorway and he counts the sheep one by one as they come in, until they're all safely inside. But if just one is missing, he goes and finds it and brings it home, brings it back into the fold. Verse 5, it says, "You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." When a table is prepared for someone before their enemies, it means that they've had victory over those enemies. And in this verse, God exalts and honours David as an honoured guest, while his enemies can only watch. They have been judged and found wanting, while David is in the presence of his Lord. When he says, "You anoint my head with oil," it was customary in David's day for the host of a banquet to anoint the honoured guests with oil. The anointing was to show the host's love and respect for their guest. David's head was anointed to show the love and respect for which he was held by God. Today, the oil represents the Holy Spirit. And may we go day by day to God that we can have our heads anointed with oil, a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. Lastly, my cup runs over. Not only does David have a full cup, but he's got a cup that overflows. When this psalm was written, The culture was that a guest was welcome to stay as long as the cup was being filled. When the cup ceased from being filled, then it was time for the guest to go. But in the Jewish culture, if they kept the cup full, it indicated that the guest could stay as long as they wanted. But when the cup was overflowing, then the stay was unlimited. The fact that David's cup runs over tells us that he knew that he was able to remain permanently in God's presence. And last verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I'm sorry, but that verse gets me. Surely means with certainty. No ifs, no buts, no maybes. Certainly, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David knew with absolute certainty that with the Lord as his shepherd, goodness and mercy would certainly follow him all the days of his life, and he would dwell forever with his Lord. And what an assurance that is for us. We have far more reason than David did for confidently declaring, I shall not want, and I will fear no evil. Our shepherd laid down his life for us, and he's been raised from the dead, putting to shame our last and greatest enemy, death itself. Now Jesus stands as the host of the great feast. He has promised to welcome us into his kingdom on the last day, there to feast at his table, vindicated in the presence of all our enemies. So if you find yourself disheartened, or in the dark, or uncertain of the future, or if your soul is downcast, fix your eyes on Jesus, your good shepherd. Stick close to him. Trust that he knows the way through the valley and will see you safely through. Believe that he's got good reasons for the road that you're taking, even though it might be hard and it might be unfamiliar. And hold on to the truth that there is something better waiting on the other side of the valley. Be assured and say, Jesus is mine. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Or, as one little 4.5-year-old girl who told her Sunday school teacher that I can say all the psalm, she got up in front of the class, did a bow, and she said, the Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want. And sat down. How can we say that? The Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want.